All right, we're beginning here on Pehe Amud Bet, right after the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Hashem Vadai in, Hashem Talui lo. Our Mishnah mentions that Chatat v'Hashem Vadai mechaprim, implying that an Hashem Talui does not provide that same kapara. The Gemara says, wait, Hashem Talui lo, v'akapara k'tiva be. The word kapara is also used by an Hashem Talui. It says, v'chiper lava goeno shigagato asher shagag. The Gemara says, hanach mechapri kapara gemura. These, the Chatat and the Hashem Vadai, they give you a full kapara. Hashem Talui, enu mechaper kapara gemura. On the other hand, an Hashem Talui doesn't give you a complete kapara. Inami, hanach, en acher mechaper kapratam. Hashem Talui, acher mechaper kaparatan. These two, the Hashem Vadai and the Chatat, nothing else can provide that same kapara. Whereas, a Hashem Talui, something else can provide that kapara, which is not here, but in Masechet Kreitot tells us that Yom Kippur can provide that same protection or kapara that an Hashem Talui provides. Tetznan, Chayavei Chataot Veshamot Vadim, Shavar Lehem Yom HaKippurim. Once Yom Kippur is passed, Chayavin, you still have to bring them. Just because Yom Kippur passed doesn't mean you're patur from bringing your Chatat and your Hasham, Vadai. But Hashamot Luyin Turim. If you pass through Yom Kippur, then the Hasham Talui is patur. The purpose of the Hashem Talui is a suspension of the punishment until you figure out what you really did and bring the proper korban. So that suspension can be provided either by Hashem Talui or by Yom HaKippurim. One of those two can do that and gives you the bridge until you get to the proper korban that you need to bring or do the proper tshuva. Mito av Yom HaKippurim mechaprim ima tshuva. Ima tshuva in, bifnei atzman lo. Sounds like death and Yom Kippur only mechaper with tshuva, without tshuva, no. Neimad lo k'rabi. That's not like Rabbi. Rabbi has the unusual opinion. Titania. Rabbi Omer, kol aveirot shebetorah, ben asa tshuva, ben lo asa tshuva, Yom HaKippurim mechaper, which is otherwise known as itzumo shel yom mechaper. Rabbi believes that Yom Kippur is mechaper even without tshuva. He says the essence of the day of Yom Kippur is mechaper. The Rishonim discuss how much Yom Kippur is mechaper and how little tshuva he has to do. So he has to be aware of something about Yom Kippur, otherwise how can Itzumo shel Yom Kippurim take care of him? And the question is, how does that function? All right, we'll get to it. Rabbi comes up again later in the Gemara. But there are exceptions to that rule. Chutz. Now here, it's interesting, the girsa we have in front of us right now, which is Purei Kol, Megaleh Panim B'Torah, Umefir Brit Basar. These are all fundamental problems or fundamental mitzvot, which basically make it impossible for Yom Kippur to help him. Mefir Brit Basar is that he's Mefir the Brit Milah. So if he's not a Jew, then Yom Kippur is not going to help him if he's Mefir the Brit of Abraham. Megaleh Panim B'Torah is someone who is Doresh. Rashi says, Drashot Shel Dofi, he's Meganeh the Torah. He makes fun of the covenant of the Torah that is between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mefarei Kol, it's obviously something is Kofer B'Ikar. That's the girsa that we have in front of us. There's an alternative girsa in the Shiltot that says, Haluei Gal Chaveiro, which is very interesting. Said a Paregol, it's someone who makes fun of his friend. Someone who treats other people improperly. So that would be also Ben Adam the Chaveiro that could prevent him from getting or attaining that kapara. So he said, those three, they don't work. Ela Shim Asad Shuva, Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Velo Asad Shuva, Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. In those instances, those three, you need tshuva as well. Most likely, if you have the list that we have in front of us, unless you do tshuva, then Yom Kippur is not meaningful to this individual. They've taken themselves away from being a Jew in the most fundamental sense. In that case, Yom Kippur can't be mechaper. If they do tshuva, then Yom Kippur is relevant to them again. Afilu teim arabi, tshuva bayi Yom HaKippurim lo bayi tshuva. So the Gemara answers, even Rabbi could fit into our Mishnah. When we said in our Mishnah that these items require Yom HaKippurim, they're saying that along with tshuva, they need Yom Kippur. But not the other way around. If you hit Yom Kippur, then you may not need tshuva. And that's how we can fit Rabbi into our Mishnah. Right? Tshuva mechaperet al avirot kalot al asei va lo tasei. Hashta lo tasei mechaperet al asei mibai. If it's mechaper on a lo tasei, on a negative commandment, a negative precept, then why do you need to tell us that a violation of a positive precept, which of course is a lower level, that violation of a lower precept, why do you have to tell me that it's mechaper? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Achikamar, you misunderstood the Mishnah. This is what it means. Alasei valotasei shinitak laasei. This isn't your classic lotasei that we're speaking about here. We're speaking about either an asei, a positive commandment, or lotasei, a negative commandment. Shinitak laasei, it has a rectification through an asei, which means that it's a lower form of lotasei, a lower form of violation. You don't get malkut for it, and there's a way to rectify it. So in those instances, that's what it is mechaper. That's what tshuva mechaperet on those items. But avalotasei gamur, lo. If it's a plain, vanilla lotasei, then tshuva doesn't do it on its own. Firiminu, is that really true? Elohei nakalot, Asay, velota atsay, puts me lotisa. So what do I consider to be the kalot, or Mishnah mentions the difference between averot kalot and averot chamurot. So included in this category of averot kalot, it says over here that's an asay, a positive commandment, velota atsay, and negative precepts. Chutz, the only exception to the rule is lotisa. We're thinking about lotisa, this is the havamina here, because it says lo yinakeh. By lotisa, lo yinakeh Hashem, et asher yisai shmol ashav. So there, it's not going to be sufficient tshuva, because it says lo yinakeh. So then, everything else will be included. But in this list here, we just said it was lotase, a plain vanilla lotase. So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood that. It means lotisa v'chol de damile. Lotisa is your classic lav, and anything similar to it is in that exception to the rule. So when we say here, ase v'lotase means ase, and an ase shenitak l'ase, and then lotisa, which is not just because it's lotisa, but it's representative of any vanilla lav, that is not covered by tshuva. Tashma, Rav Yehuda Omer, Koshu melotisa ulamata, tshuva mechaperet. Melotisa ulamala, tshuva tole, v'yom ha-kiburim mechaper. So again, you have the same problem again here, which is, it sounds like anything that is from lotisa ulamala, then tshuva tole. Tshuva only is able to keep you on the road until you get to Yom HaKippurim. Once you get Yom HaKippurim, then you get complete kapara for them. Then everything below lotisa, then that gets just tshuva and you're done. So below lotisa, we have a whole list of everot that go below that, and including lavim, just plain lavim. Before lotisa, fundamental averot. So those fundamental averot, you can't just do tshuva, you need tshuva on Yom HaKippurim. And the other ones, you need just tshuva. So again, it's the same answer, lotisa v'chol de damile. When we say, koshu lo mi lotisa ulamato, tshuva mechaperet, lotisa malo tshuva tola, again, we're including in lotisa, kol de damile. Anything that is similar to it, so that would be all these plain vanilla lavim will also be included in lotisa. And therefore, they will require both tshuva and Yom HaKippurim. It's Tashma. The fish in Emar Bechorev tshuva, because it says by Chorev by Har Sinai v'nakeh. Yochol af lotisa yimahen. You would think that lotisa also is included in this ability to use tshuva. Tamalomar lo yinakeh. Over there, we quoted before the pasuk by lotisa, which says lo yinakeh. Shem will not provide that kapara. And then in the Shloshesei Midot, it says v'nakeh lo yinakeh. So now, how do we reconcile that? Yochol afshar chayvi lavin kain. You would think all chayvi lavin have that same status. Tamad Omer et Shemo. Shemo hu deinu minakeh, ava minakeh shar chayvi lavin. The only thing that Hashem does not forgive, does not let go, is when it's dealing with His shame, when it's Hashem's name, when it's a desecration of the name of Hashem. Aval minakeh shar chayvi lavin. But other chayvi lavin don't have that status. So here we just see the Breita split lotisa from your regular plain vanilla lav. It says lotisa does not have the same status as other lavin. Other lavin, you can get attained kapara for. Lotisa is a unique status of lo yinakeh, that you do not attain kapara for it, just through tshuva. So Gemara says, tanayehi. It happens to be a machloket tanaim as to how we view the plain lavim. The Tanya. Ama tshuva mechaperet, alasei, valotasei shenitak laasei. So that's what we had before, that the Gemara established that the only thing that tshuva takes care of on the spot is an asay, and a lotase shenitak laasay. V'ma tshuva tole v'yom ha-kippurim mechaper. What is tshuva put into suspension, the punishment, until you reach Yom HaKippurim for full kapara? Al kreitot v'almitot beitin v'alotase gamur. So here you have specifically a braita telling you that alotase gamur, we have it in the category of those items that need to wait until Yom Kippur. So we have a machloket tanaim as to whether lotase is in the category of tshuva does it and you're out and you're all good, or it's tshuva and then you gotta wait until Yom HaKippurim until you get covered. Amamar. So now we're going back to investigate this. The fish in Amar Bechorev v'nakeh. Says by Chorev Har Sinai, it says v'nakeh. Minalan. How do we know this? The Tanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Iyav shalomar nakeh, shekvar nemar lo yinakeh. Iyav shalomar lo yinakeh, shekvar nemar nakeh. So what do you do with in the Shloshesei Midot when it says v'nakeh lo yinakeh? What does that mean? How do we explain that? Even though in Pashtut, it's very clear what it means. But here, v'nakeh lo yinakeh, the Gemara looks at them as separate entities. And therefore, how could it be that some people are nakeh and some people are lo yinakeh? So haketzah, minakeh hu l'shavim, v'enu minakeh l'sheinan shavim. The Gemara says, it's very clear. You do tshuva, then you get kapara. That's v'nakeh. You don't do tshuva, that is lo yinakeh. So there we have the answer, and the Shloshesei Midot, the difference between Nenakeh and Lo Yinakeh. Hashem will take care of those that do tshuva. Hashem will not take care of those that do not do tshuva. Shal Rav Matthew ben Charash et Rav Elazar ben Azariah Biromi. Shamat arba'ah chalukei kaparasha haya Rabbi Shmuel Dorish. So he says, did you hear those four categories that Rabbi Shmuel used to be Dorish with regards to kapara? So Amar, he said back to them, Shloshahein, first of all, there aren't four categories, there are only three of them. And number two is, Tshuvaim kol echad v'echad. They're not so distinct, because they do have a common denominator, which is that tshuva has to be a part of all three of these categories. Which is, Avara, say, v'shav, and he does tshuva, Einu zaz misham ad shemocholim lo. If he violates a mitzvah, say, and then he regrets it, and he does tshuva on the spot, they are mochel him on the spot, he doesn't need anything else. Tshuva is sufficient for the violation of a mitzvah asay, shenemar, says in Yirmiyahu, shuvu vanim shovavim. Return you, wayward children, or mischievous children, to come back. And from there it sounds like, in the continuation of the pasuk, that Hashem provides the kapara immediately. Because it says, erpa mishuvotechem, which is the continuation of the pasuk, which sounds like the ripui. The cure is done immediately. When they do the tshuva, you get the cure. So that is with regards to a mitzvah asay. Avara lo tasei v'asa tshuva. You violated a lo tasei, you do tshuva. Tshuva tole, v'yom ha-kippurim mechaper. Tshuva suspends it, and then yom ha-kippurim closes the deal. Shenemar, v'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem mikol chatoteichem. Yom Kippur is the day of kapara from all of your sins. Now none of the psukim have anything in them to tell you what averot are associated with them. We just know that each one of these psukim are telling you a type of kapara that's attained. And logically, he's applying the severity of the mitzvah or the avera to each of those categories. So he says, when mitzvah does say, we're going to associate that with tshuva that provides kapara immediately. Yom HaKippurim provides kapara for the lotas say, where you have the suspension through tshuva, and then you have Yom HaKippurim. Avar al kretot, mitot, beitin. So now with the more severe types of punishments that involve a mita, whether it's mita from the kretot, from shamayim, mita at beitin, then vasad tshuva, and he does tshuva, tshuva yom ha-kippurim tolin, tshuva yom ha-kippurim suspend the punishment, v'yisurim amrikim. And then you need yisurim in order to cleanse the problem. I mean, it's not going to be sufficient. Tshuva and yom ha-kippurim are not going to be sufficient in this case. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'gadti b'shevet pish'am v'nigra'im avunam. So over here, you see that v'gadti b'shevet means with a staff. I'm going to come down on you. So here is an outside punishment. There's a punishment beyond the punishment that's specifically designated for the Avera. When does that come in? That comes in a case where you did something that was deserving of mitat beitin or karet, and then you did tshuva and yom kippurim. You still have to have some form of punishment in order to cleanse the individual, clear their slate. Aval mishesh chilul Hashem biyado. Then if you have chilul Hashem, ein koach lo b'tshuva litzlot. Tshuva can't suspend it. Velo yom kippurim lechaper, and yom kippurim can't clean everything up. Velo yom yisurim lemareik, and yisurim can't cleanse the individual. They can't purify them. Ela kulan tolin umita mamreket. Everything is suspended till the day of death, and death is the only thing that can return the person to his former self, in the sense that death is that punishment for Chilul Hashem. Shenemar says, "V'niglo bo'oznei Hashem tzvakot, im yichupar ha'avon hazeh lachem ad tumutun." It's clear to Hashem that im yichupar, will it be that you attain or you are purged of your sins ad tumutun, until you die. Here you see that there's a purging of sins only at the time of death. That's for the most severe of averot, which is that of Chilul Hashem. Heichi dami Chilul Hashem. What is the Chilul Hashem that we're speaking about here? Right, we classically think of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem as being the cardinal sins that we spoke about before, where a person has to be Hareg, V'al Yavor. That's where we think in context of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. But Kiddush Hashem is also a way of life, and Chilul Hashem is something that one can do in their everyday life. And that's what Gemara is addressing over here. What Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem are we speaking about here? Amar Rav. Rav says, Kohen Ano. Like me, isha kilna bisra mitabcho v'yavina demei la'alter. If I buy from the butcher and I don't pay immediately, then that is a chilul Hashem. In a case where the practice is that you pay immediately, or even if you take it on credit, you repay the credit, he doesn't have to come after you, then it's a chilul Hashem if he doesn't do that. Man, it sounds like he's not paying the butcher. It sounds like he's trying to escape to paying for the meat that he took. So again, there are two measures here. One is it's Rav, and number two is, what's the common practice? Common practice is that the customer pays, or the customer makes sure to pay out the credit. Number two is it's Rav who's in a position where people are watching what he does. And so this is, again, has implications in terms of Chilul Hashem. The higher the person is, the more public the figure is, then their activities are watched or scrutinized more carefully, and therefore they have to be even better, cleaner, and lifnim mishurat hadin, because people will learn from them. And that's the problem with Chilul Hashem, is where people look at them and they say, if that's what he does, then I can do it. I can imitate what this individual does. And again, this doesn't mean whether they're in the right or in the wrong. This has nothing to do with right or wrong. It simply has to do with the perception that people have of the activity. And that's what you have to be nikiyim in Hashem umi Yisrael. Person has to be clean in the eyes of Hashem, but not only in the eyes of Hashem, but in the eyes of Israel. And that becomes more and more important as the person becomes more of a public figure or more of a, in a leadership position. It's only true in a city where the practice isn't that the butcher comes and collects his credits, meaning that he writes down the credits, and then once a month he goes around to all the customers and he collects from them. If that's the practice, then it's not a chilul Hashem for him not to pay, because the common practice is that the butcher comes and collects. Aval ba'atru de deboi leitlan ba. If there's a place where he comes to collect the outstanding debts, then there's no problem, because you're acting within the letter of the law that everybody accepts. Nobody's going to think of it that you did something wrong. Amar Ravina, umata machsia. Ravina says, in my city, mata machsia, atru de tavehu. That's a city where that's the practice, that they come around and they collect the debts. So I don't have to pay on the spot, because nobody's going to come to the wrong conclusion when I leave with the meat on credit. Abaye, kedeshakel bisra mitrei shutfe. Abaye, when you should purchase meat or an item from two partners, you have zuzah lahai, v'zuzah lahai. You used to pay both partners. You pay partner A and partner B the full amount. V'hadar mekarev luhu, gabay adodi. Then he'd bring them together, v'avit chushbana. And they'd settle the payment. So he didn't want either partner to think that he didn't pay. So he pays them both fully, and then when they get back together, he takes back the difference or the extra that he paid them. But here again, this is clear that it's not necessary what he's doing. But he's lifnim mishurat hadin to be sure that neither partner could say that he cheated them on the price or he cheated them on how he paid. Rav Yochanan amar, tegonano, demazgina arba amot, below toro bilin. It's very interesting. So Rabbi Yochanan takes it another step, and he says, if I walk around and I move 4 amot without my tefillin on or without Torah on my mouth, then that's a chilul Hashem. So again, Rabbi Yochanan, this isn't for everybody. Everybody doesn't walk 4 amot with tefillin on or Torah, but there's an expectation by Rabbi Yochanan. And if Rabbi Yochanan is walking around without tefillin or without speaking in Torah, people are going to either learn from him or they're going to say, what's going on with Rabbi Yochanan? There's a standard that Rabbi Yochanan is held to because of his stature as a Talmud Chacham, as a leader in Eretz Yisrael. And for that reason, he's got to behave in a certain manner. Not that which is expected from everyone, but because that's his stature, he's got to act in this way so people don't come to the wrong conclusions. Yitzchak, debay Rabbi Yanai Amar, kosha chavirav mitbashim machmat shmuato. This is very important. That's anything that his friends are embarrassed by the rumors that are surfacing about this individual. That's enough. I mean that lo tov hashmua. If it's not good what they're hearing, and that your friends are embarrassed about what people are saying about you, then there's something wrong. That's on two levels. One is here, if the person actually did something wrong and people are embarrassed about it, that's enough of a reason to question what the activity is that you're doing. Number two is, even if it's rumors that are not true, a person has to be very careful at those levels of positions that, they, again, they're nikiyim b'enei Hashem umi Yisrael. They have to conduct themselves in such a way that it can't be misperceived, so that there isn't this improper assessment of their actions. So it's from both of those perspectives, those are problematic. And that's Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Gaon, the Ka'amre Inche, Sharle Mari Laplanyo. Hashem should forgive that individual. If people are saying about a person, Hashem should forgive that individual, that's right, an indication that they feel there's something wrong with the way he is acting. And that if Hashem should forgive that individual, then that person is already acting in a manner that is a chilul Hashem. And if they are driving on the road and they drive in such a manner that it is reckless or without courtesy, and people say, ah, so Hashem should forgive them, already you know that they're doing something wrong, because people are making a comment that Hashem should forgive them, meaning that there is something wrong with this activity. Again, this is not necessarily a letter of the law. It's even within the spirit of the law. These are individuals that we're holding to a much higher standard. The problem is that these are things that can't be rectified easily. These are types of things. Chilul Hashem is, somebody witnesses this, it has a very, very deep impact on the individual who sees such a thing about their yachas, their relationship with Torah, and the way that they look at Torah and Yadut at that point is now affected severely by this individual. It's not the Aveira in particular that's the problem. It's the perception created from that Aveira that now leads people to act in a different way or treat Torah, Mitzvot, Hashem in a different way. And that's what we're worried about over here. That's the Chilul Hashem that is really causing the problem, is that you've now changed people. Now they will disregard mitzvot, or think it's not important, or it's not so. They look how people act when they are religious. All of these things are implications that really are far-reaching and can affect a person for the rest of their lives. So that's why we're holding people to such high standards here. Rabbi Amar, Kidatanya. How do we know this? Because this is one of my favorite lines in Gemara. It says, "Vahavta et Hashem Elokecha." You must love Hashem. Shehei Shem Shemaim mit ahev ayadecha. Loving Hashem, it doesn't mean you love Hashem, but rather you must cause Hashem's name to be loved. And what do you mean, "Vahavta et Hashem Elokecha"? That you should engender the feeling amongst people that they should love Hashem. Why? Shehei Koreh v'shone u'mishamesh. Talmid Chachamim. Koreh means he learns Tanakh. Shoneh means he learns Mishnah, Mishamesh means he learns Gemara. Ve'yehei maso umatano ve'emuna. He acts appropriately when it comes to business dealings. He is above board. Everybody knows that he's honest and straightforward when it comes to his business dealings. Ve'tiburo benachat ima birot. When he speaks to people, that conversation is done in a proper manner with the proper consideration to other people. Ma briot omrot alav. What do people say about such an individual? Ashrei Aviv Shelimdo Torah. Praise be, or how wonderful is his father that taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabo Shelimdo Torah. And also we praise his Rebbe. How wonderful is his Rebbe that taught him Torah. Oy lehem lebriot shelo lamdu Torah. Woe is to those people that don't learn Torah. When you learn Torah, look what happens. Look how good things are. Ploni shelamdo Torah. This individual who was taught Torah, Ru kama na'im dirachav, kama mitukanim asav. Look how good his ways are. Look how proper his actions are. Alava katuv omer. And him the pasuk says, V'yomer li, avdi ata Yisrael asher becha et pe'er. You, Israel, are my servants. In you I am glorified. And that this is an individual who is the proper representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, proper representative of Torah. Aval, Misha Koreh Vishoneh U'Mishamesh Tamidei Chachamim. He learns Torah, Mishnah, Gemara. Ve'im Asano U'Matano Be'emunah. He doesn't act appropriately or honestly in his business dealings. Ve'im Dibro B'Nachat Dimibro. He doesn't address people or speak to people in a nice manner. Ma Briyot Omrot Olav. What do people say about him? Oy lo leploni shelamad Torah. What's the point of learning Torah? Look what the results of learning Torah. Odoy laviv shelimdo Torah. Odoy lerabo shelimdo Torah. So why does his father and his Rebbe, why should they teach him Torah? Look what came of him when they taught him Torah. Ploni shelamad Torah, rukama mikukalim asaf. Look at this individual learned Torah. How problematic his actions are. Rukama mikhuraim edirachav. And how poor his ways are. Alava katuv omer. And on him the pasuk says, Be'amor lehem, am Hashem, eile, umi'artso yatso. This is Pasuk in Yechezkel. It says when Bnei Yisrael are put into exile, the other nations are going to look at them and say, oh, who are these people? Well, they are the am Hashem. They're the people of Hashem, umi'artso yatso, when they were taken out of his land. Obviously, that's a chilul Hashem, which is, look, they were the chosen people of Hashem, and look what happened to them. Obviously, that is a poor reflection on the way that they behaved, or the way that people of Hashem behave. So this is, again, one of my favorite lines in the Gemara, that Torah has to have an impact on the individual. When a person learns Torah, it has to impact the individual to the extent that their behavior, their whole approach to the world is different. That means that the way they act and the honesty in which they conduct themselves, how they interact with other people, that they, in the end, people look and say, it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. Because look, Torah and keeping the mitzvot and being a religious individual gives you all these benefits, all these wonderful things. And if the opposite is true on Chas V'Shalom, then it leads to the exact opposite, which is, why bother? It's not worth the sacrifice, in the sense, to do all this, because in the end, look at the product that you get. So again, the more that a person is involved and associated with Torah, the more a person is viewed as a representative of religious people, the more and more meaning this has. And again, this doesn't apply just to Talmidei Chachamim. In certain situations and circumstances, each of us is a representative of Hashem. Depends on where you are. You can be standing online at the store and you're the only religious individual there. All of these things have impact on all the people around you. And again, it's applicable both to Jews and non-Jews. And it's more about Jews than it is about non-Jews, but it applies equally to both. That people have to look at a Jew and say, you know, kama na'im asaf. This is the way I wish my children would grow up. I wish my children would act in this manner. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, gedola tshuva shemevi Refuah le'olam, brings cures or recovery to the world. Shenemar, pa mishuvatam oavim nidava. So it says that I will erpa, I will bring cure to them, mishuvatam, from when they repent, Oveim Nidava. I love their voluntary offerings. Rami Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Rami Ktiv. It says by the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Shuvu Banim Shovavim. Timikara Shovavim Atem. In the beginning, you were mischievous. Then it says, Erpa Mishuvotam, sounds like as if they had something wrong, and now I am curing them. In the second case, it sounds like there was a problem, and now it's cured. In the first case, it says, they did a little mischief, and that's it. Once they do tshuva, it's as if the first thing that you did was like from when you were younger, and you were mischievous, and you didn't know what to do. So one of them makes it sound like you're responsible for what happened before, one of them makes it sound like you're not responsible for before. Lokasha, kan mi'ava, kan mi'ira. Depends what precipitates the tshuva. The tshuva is precipitated from Yira, and tshuva Mira has the ability to protect, to rectify from here forward, here to forward, but it doesn't rectify retroactively. Tshuva Mi'ava has the ability to not only rectify forward, but also to rectify retroactively, that it turns whatever happened in the past into something that is different than the individual. As Rambam says about the person who's a Baal tshuva, that he's lo oto aish. He's not the same person he was before. If you're a different person, then you're not the same person as before. Then you can't connect between what happened before and what happens now. There's a separation. There's a chayitz, a break between the two individuals. We'll speak about this in more detail on the second half of the daf. Rav Yehuda Rami Ktiv. It says, Shuva banim shovavim erpa mishuvoteichem. So here, this is the posuk. And Yirmiyahu says that you should come back, you wayward children, you mischievous children, erpa mishuvoteichem. You come back, I will cure you. In your doing of tshuva, when you do your tshuva, when you repent, I will cure you. Uchtiv. And it says, ki, and the word hinei doesn't appear there, it says, ki anochi ba'alti b'chem, v'kachti etchem echad me'iru shnaim mi'mishpacha. God says, I have taken you, I've married you, and I've taken one from a city and two from a family. So how do we explain that? Lokasha. Kan mi'avau mi'ira. That's if tshuva is done, mi'avau ira. Kan ayudei isurim. This is ayudei isurim. So there are different ways that Hashem can bring a person to tshuva. If a person does tshuva, either because of avau ira, that's one level, and there's another tshuva that's precipitated by isurim. Person faces isurim, and then he does tshuva. So there are now three levels of tshuva. We have tshuva mi'avau, which is obviously the highest level, tshuva mi'ira, which is a little lower level, and then tshuva mi'isurim. So all of them are tshuva, but they have different levels. They're different gradations of tshuva, and the impact that they have. And the impact they have has to do with the level of tshuva. We just said before, tshuva mi'ava, which wipes the slate clean. You have tshuva mi'ira, which, going forward, wipes the slate, but does not remove that which is in the past. And then you have tshuva mi'isurim, which, okay, in the end, it gets you to tshuva, but it's that lower form. It's not completely wiped out. So in the case of tshuva mi'avu or yira, it calls them banim. On the other hand, when we're talking about tshuva mi'surim, it calls them avadim. That's one interpretation that Rashi brings. The alternative interpretation he brings is, which includes an alternative girsa of tshuva elai v'tshuva aleichem, which implies that the Shem only returns to us after we do tshuva, versus the pasuk that we quoted here, which says, ki anochi ba'alti b'chem, which is beforehand, God is already married to us and connected to us. And the answer again is, kan mi tshuva mi'avo v'yira, whereas Hashem already is married to us and connected to us, whereas tshuva mi'surim is only after we've done tshuva does Hashem then act reflexively and return to us.
Amar Rabbi Levi, gdola tshuva shemagata kisei hakavod. Tshuva is so great, it reaches to the holy throne of God, shenemar. Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. You have to do tshuva ad, until, literally until God, so that's where tshuva reaches, until the throne. Here, there's interesting piercing that says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ad velo ad bichlau. Means until there, but not at the kisei hakavod. And then, Rabbi Yochanan, gdola tshuva shodocha lo tasei shebetorah. That tshuva is so great that it eliminates a lo tasei in the Torah. Shnemar, learn more. Hein, yishalach ish et ishto, valcha mito. What would happen if a man sends away his wife, and she goes from him, vaitali ishacher, and then she marries another man? Hayashuv elea old? Can she return to her original husband? Halo chanof techenaf haaretz. The land will be polluted greatly with this. Sayi va'at zanit reim rabim. And you, now referring to Klal Yisrael, you have been mezaneh with many different lovers. V'shuva elayinu Hashem, and I still allow you to return to me. I mean, there it's really a rhetorical question. But just shuva elayinu Hashem, and you're going to return to me. But the answer is yes. Hashem is allowing for tshuva. So what is normally not allowed, which is a woman who is divorced, marries another individual, she may not return to her original husband. That's a lo satev shebetorah. Yet, When Bnei Israel are mizane, or they go off to other wives, they go to Avodah Zarah and other loves, nevertheless, Hashem says, you can return to me, despite the fact that in the Torah that would not be permitted. With tshuva, I allow you to come back to me. Amar Rabbi Yonatan gdola tshuva, she meviat agula. It brings about the gula, shenemar, uval tzion goel, that there will be a redeemer that comes to tzion, leshave pesha biyakov. Matam uval tzion goel, mishum deshave pesha biyakov. Because those that return, those that repent, so the confessions of those that return in Yaakov. Amar Reish Lakish, gdola tshuva. So here, it's a very, one of the most important lines here. Gdola tshuva, shes donot nase lokish kagot. Person does tshuva, what originally were intentional sins, now becomes as if they were unintentional sins. Shenemar, tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem lokecha, ki kashalta be'amonecha. Ha'avon mezid. Avon, we know from before, early in the Masechta, avon is something that's done with intent. And v'kakari le michshol. And they still say that you stumble over an intentional sin. You don't stumble over an intentional sin. You're doing something intentionally with intent. So what does it mean you stumbled over it? Because now that you did tshuva, tshuva ad Hashem Elokecha, it changes those intentional sins into unintentional sins. Is that really true? Amar Reish Lakish gedula tshuva, shizdonot nasot lo kizichuyot. That intentional sins become now merits for him. Shenemar, because it says, ubishuv rasha mirish ato, vasa mishpat utztaka alehem hu yichye. Person who comes back, rasha mirishato. This pasuk actually appears twice in Yechezkel in a slightly different form. In Yechezkel it says, v'shuv rasha mirishato, when he comes back from there doing the evil, vasa mishpat utztaka. This is what we're asked of us. He does mishpat utztaka, he does it which is right, and he acts appropriately, takes care of his ben adam lechaveru. Who yichye? That person will live. So you see over here that not only is the Rasha Mishato is tshuva, but who yichye? That will give him life. So naselo kizchuyot, that which was bad in the past, now becomes like a merit that will keep him alive. Lokasho, kan mi'ava, kan mi'ira. It's not one of them is done mi'ava, one's done mi'ira. So this connects back to what we said before. There's tshuva mi'ava and tshuva mi'ira. So we said tshuva mi'ira is only forward-looking type of tshuva. Prospectively that it helps you, retroactively it doesn't do it. On the tshuva mi'ava, not only does it help you prospectively, it happens to you retroactively, and that's connected to this. That when you take an avon, you take something that was intentional, and you do tshuva mi'ira, then yes, prospectively you clean the slate, but retroactively it's still there. It will remain as an unintentional sin. On the other hand, if you do tshuva mi'ava, then not only does it prospectively help you, but retroactively, it now changes it into a zchut. Not only is it not an aveira, but it now is a zchut. Soloveitchik, Zatzal has a beautiful explanation, ala tshuva of this. You have constructive forces of man and destructive forces of man. Constructive forces are always on a lower level or have less power than destruction. Destruction is, first of all, much easier to unleash and much more powerful when you unleash destruction. To build is much harder than to destroy. And therefore, when we talk about destruction, we talk about the forces of evil and doing bad, it's much easier to unleash them and they're more powerful. What the tshuva ma'ava does is that if a person then harnesses those powers of destruction towards constructive means, then you create something unbelievable. And that's what it means that donot naselo chuyot. If you can harness those things that were wrong in the past and now turn them towards the good, that's how they nases chuyot. You've now taken that destructive force, which was so powerful, and now you've converted it or redirected it towards something positive, that's going to give results that are significantly better than just being constructive. And that's what it means over here, to take that same zadon that was so bad and so destructive, and if you now push it towards the positive side, you're able to build on it and to do something with it, that is something that will turn out to be kizuchut. That aveira in the end will be to your benefit instead of something that's to your detriment. In reality, not just like, oh yeah, some magical happens, but in reality, you can now take something. If a person has a bad midah, and they turn it out to be a good midah, those things that they did in the past, now they take that same bad midah, and now they direct it towards the good, they're utilizing something that they've acknowledged was bad, but now they can turn it into something good. And that force, or that power, will be significant, and they made it into a zechut. And that's just a way to explain this idea of tshuva mi'ava, tshuva mi'ira. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, gdola tshuva shemarechet shnotav shel adam. Tshuva extends the life of an individual. Shenamar, ubishuv rasha. Again, it's the same pasuk that we're quoting Yechezkel from a different parak. It's a slightly nuanced difference. It says, ubishuv rasha mirishato. Asher asa. When a rasha comes back from what he has done wrong, ve ya'as mishpat utztaka, hu et nafsho yechaye. Missing in the middle part of the pasuk. The pasuk is slightly different over there. It has a couple extra words in it, but the basic idea is the same, which is ubeshuv Hashem yishato hu yichyeh, that when he does b'tshuva, he will live. And that life, you'll get life, you'll have arichut yamim.
Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amrei b'marova mishmei Rabba Bar Mari, you say over in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rabba Bar Mari, bo re'ei, shlok midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam.
Man and God are different. Midat basar v'dam maknit et chavero b'dvarim, person who causes a problem for his friend. He says something that hurts his friend, or for some reason offends his friend.
Safek mitpayes emenu, safek en mitpayes emenu.
Number one, it's not clear whether he's going to forgive him or he's not going to forgive him. Number two is, v'im tomar mitpayes emenu, even if you say that he will give in, safek mitpayes bidvarim, safek mitpayes bidvarim. We're not sure exactly what it's going to take to appease him. It's simply you can speak to him and that's enough, or you're going to have to do something beyond speaking to him in order to placate him.
Aval, kosh brocho, adam over avira b'seter,
person who violates an avira in private, mitpayes minu bidvarim. You simply need to speak to God, and you can attain tshuva, you can attain a God's forgiveness. So number one, you're guaranteed that Hashem will be placated in a sense. And number two is, you're also guaranteed that all you have to do is speak to Hashem. That's sufficient.
Shinemar, Chui mechem dvarim, v'shuva el Hashem.
From Hosea, it says, Chui mechem dvarim. Just take your words, v'shuva el Hashem, and then come back to Hashem. That's all you need. You just need to speak to Hashem. Obviously, it has to be heartfelt. But if you speak to Hashem, that is sufficient.
Lo'od, el shemakzik lo tova.
God gives him credit for this. So here again, we're missing a part of the pasuk. The pasuk goes, Chui mechem dvarim, v'shuva el Hashem. Imru elav. Then,
so that's the extent of the full pasuk.
But here you see, b'shuvah l'Hashem, then, v'imru elav kol tisavon, that if you will carry the iniquity, Hashem, you'll forgive us for that iniquity, v'kach tov, take good, u'nishama parim svatenu, and our words will replace the parim, the korbanot. So we use this pasuk in general in korbanot to say that when we say the korbanot today, it's in place of the korbanot, but here the Gemara darshins that v'lo od el shemakzik lo tova, Hashem gives him credit for it. Shenemar v'kach tov, take a lollipop. He did something good. Kach tov. V'lo od el shemale al katuv gilu yikri parim. Not only that, it's as if he brought a korban. Shenemar u'nesham of parim svatenu. Shema tomar parei chova. You say, oh, these are obligatory offerings. Tamal omar erpa mishuvatam oivim nidava. So that's the conclusion of the puzzle we quoted before, which is that I will cure them through their repentance. I love their voluntary offerings. So here you see the Neshama Parim Svatenu is referencing voluntary offerings. So voluntary offering, as Rashi says, is Mikubelet Ratzon Yoter Michova. That's something that's accepted much more than something that's brought as an obligatory offering. So here it's looked on favorably.
Tanya, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Gedola Tshuva Shebishvil Yachid Shasa Tshuva Mochlim L'chol HaOlam Kulo.
That just for an individual does Tshuva, the entire world is a beneficiary. Shinamar Erpa Mishuvatam. So the end of the pasuk we just quoted before is erpa mishuvatam ovem nidava, which is all written in the plural. I will cure them through their repentance. Ovem nidava, I love their voluntary offerings. And then the next pasuk, kishav api mimenu, my anger has left him, which is written in the singular form. So you see that cure is brought to all from the repentance of the individual.
Mehem lo namar ela mimenu,
that from him. So they use the mix of plural versus yachid. Gives you that outcome.
Heche dami bal tshuva.
What's a bal tshuva?
Some Rabbi Yehuda Kohen shebad yado devar avira pam rishona ushniya.
That a person who comes to an avira first time and second time, ve nitzol himenu, and then he is saved from it. So now the Bach, as the Gir says, pam rishona vishniya upeiresha menu, and he's separated from it. Mechavi Rabbi Yehuda ba'oto isha ba'oto perak ba'oto makom. That's only true if it's in the same circumstances, the same woman, the same circumstances, the same location. I mean, it has to be the same temptation as you had before. A real Baal Tshuva is someone that can be faced with the same temptation and does not fail this time. He overcomes the temptation the next time.
I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Rami. Rav used to ask, Tiv Ashrei Nasui Pesha Kisui Chata.
Praiseworthy, or how wonderful is the one who carries his sins and covers up his iniquity. Someone who covers up his sins will not succeed. So which is it? Should you be covering up your sins or should you be exposing your sins? So lokasha. Ha b'cheit mefursam, ha b'cheit sheinu mefursam. Depends on the nature of the sin. A public sin should repent in public. You have to do vidui in public for a public sin. On the other hand, if it's a private sin, it remains private. You do vidui in private.
Rav Zutra bar Tuvia amar Rav Nachman, kan be'virot sheben adam lechaviro, kan be'virot sheben adam lemakom.
When you sin with God, meaning in private, between you and God, then you don't have to reveal. It's a chil Hashem for you to reveal your sins. You, between you and Hashem, you have to deal with them. But ben adam lechaveiro, people know that you've wronged an individual and you have to ask for forgiveness from the individual, then it's important to publicize it in the way that that person now will forgive you because you have admitted to doing wrong or wronging the individual. This happens to be a major machloket puskim with regards to ben adam lechaveiro. When, for instance, you spoke in Lashon Hara about an individual and they don't know. And now you have to go and ask them for forgiveness. Do you have to tell them what you spoke about? Machlokes between the Chafetz Chaim and others about whether you have to actually disclose what you said. Does disclosing what you said actually make the situation worse? And then you're not improving, you're actually making it much worse. Or does the disclosure mandatory in order for you to gain the forgiveness of the individual? Because the damage you've done can only be rectified if he understands what he's forgiving you for. So that happens to be a machloket in the poskim, whether you do disclose or do not disclose that type of information. We've spoken about that in the past with regards to Lashon Hara. Hey, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam Over Avera Pam Rishuna, Mochalim Lo. Person violates a sin once, they forgive him. Shnia, Mochalim Lo. Second time, they forgive him. Shlishit, Mochalim Lo. Third time, they also forgive him. Revit, Ein Mochalim Lo. You hit the fourth time, no more forgiveness. Shnei Amar, Kom Hashem, Ashlosha Pishe Yisrael, Val Arba Lo Yeshiveno. That they sinned three times, I was willing to waive it. The fourth time, I won't let it go. Vom Aaron also says in Iyov, Hain kol ela yifal el pamayim shalosh im gaver. And Hashem, on all these things, does to a person two times, three times with an individual. But after that, that's it. God doesn't come back again after two or three times. My Vom Aaron, why do I need two psukim here? V'chitei ma'ani mili bitzibur. The first one is talking about Klal Yisrael as a whole. Maybe that's only true about the tzibur. Therefore, I bring a pasuk that's speaking about an individual as well, which is Hein Golel Yifal El Pamaim Shalosh Im Gaver. Alright, Tan Rabbanan. If you wrote Shidvada Alehem Yom Kippurim Zeh Lo Yidvada Alehem Yom Kippurim Acher. Person who confessed to and asked for forgiveness for sins this Yom Kippur should not repeat those sins that he did. I mean, now he hasn't returned to them. He should not repeat them in the subsequent Yom Kippur. If you did do them again, then you do have to do vidui again because you now have a new sin. If you didn't do them again, and now you go do vidui on them, that just like the dog goes back to his throw up or to his feces, so too a foolish person goes back to his ivalto. He repeats his mistakes. So over here, you shouldn't go back over them. The way that we paskin with regards to this is, if a person repeated the sin, you should for sure do a vidu again on that particular sin. If a person has not returned to the sin, then they should not say vidu on a particular sin, but in general should ask for forgiveness for sins that they've done in the past. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Koshken Shu Meshubach. And this is why we have that principle, is because he thinks it's better to go over them. Why? Shneemar, Ki Pishai Ani Eda, V'chatati Negdi Tamid. I will acknowledge my sins, and my iniquities will be opposite me all the time. Now the purpose of repeating the sins from year to year, not necessarily in a detailed format, but in a general format, is that if a person keeps an awareness about the sin in front of them, they won't repeat the sin. It keeps up that level of inhibition and that level of reluctance to go back to that place they were before. And so that's the benefit of going over the sins, not in terms necessarily of all the kapara, but just in terms of a person reminding themselves where they've been and where they don't want to go to again. And that's the benefit of repeating the sins from year to year.
What are you going to do with that pasuk? Kid Rabuna, Dam Rabuna, Kevin Shavar, Dam Avira, Vishanaba, Huchalo. Person does a Avira once, twice, then it becomes Mutar to him. Huchalo. Sakadatcha, could you think that something's Mutar? Ela Ema Naseit Lo Geheter. That becomes like he it is Heter to him. He no longer feels that reticence in violating the Avira anymore because he did it already. He overcame that reticence and now he doesn't feel like it's an Avira. He just keeps doing it. So that has implications again. We spoke now before about the idea of vidui, that's why we'd say vidui again, is to capture. We have an all-capturing vidui for past sins. As long as you haven't returned to them, you should mention them again. In addition, over here, the Gemara talks about the psychology of sin, that a person has a certain amount of reluctance to sin because he feels that it's wrong. If you break the barrier down, then that sin no longer is as big a mountain as it was before, and that's what it means. And I said, Lokeheter, the famous mashal that's used by Amalek, that nobody wanted to attack Klal Yisrael, and then Amalek attacks him. It's like the hot water, and the fool jumps into the hot water. He pulls it off for everybody else, because people say, okay, somebody did it now. That's the same idea here. Once you've overcome that inhibition, then it nasi lokeheter, you break down that barrier, and it becomes more and more problematic, and that's why it's much harder to tshuva when you're a repeat offender. You do a sin over and over again, it's much harder to overcome, because you don't feel that sense of busha or inhibition anymore. Yeah, but tzarich lifrot et achet, you have to enumerate your sin. This is very important in terms of vidui, that in order to be yotze vidui on Yom HaKippurim, you have to actually enumerate the sin that you did. It's not enough just to simply say the vidui that's printed in the siddur. You actually, to be mekayim the mitzvah vidui on Yom HaKippurim, you have to mention a sin that you know in particular, and be meferated, and say it out. Your own private thing, and part of the vidui. Vidui are just general categories. Shenemar, ana chata amazeh chata gedola, besulahem elohei zahav. They made an ego. I mean, Moshe says specifically what they did wrong. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ashrei Nasui Pesha, Hitsui Chata. Says that you're better off covering up the sin. Elumau Shamar Moshe V'yaselahem Elohei Zav. What are you going to do with that? Kedah Rabbi Yanai. Dama Rabbi Yanai. Amar Moshe Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Kesev Zav Shir Beiti Lehem L'Yisrael. Ad Shamru Dai, Karam Lehem She'asu Elohei Zav. The fact that you gave them so much gold and so much silver, that's what caused them to make the egel. What Moshe is doing is throwing it back on God. What Moshe is doing is not being afraid to sin. He's actually telling Hashem, you caused the problem here because you gave them so much in terms of wealth. This is what they ended up doing with that wealth. Had you not given them so much, you wouldn't have the problem. Shnei parnasim tovim amdu lehem l'Yisrael, Moshe v'David. Moshe amar yikatev sarchuni, write my sin. Shnei amar, yano imantem bil akti sheni. Every time Moshe's death is mentioned, it specifies why he died, because he says, you weren't mekadesh me by the case of Meimiriva. David Amar, al yikatev surchoni, don't write down my sin. Shinemar, ashrei nosui pesha ki sui chata, which is a quote from Tehillim, better to cover up the sin. Mashal de Moshe David ma davar domeh. This mashal de Moshe and David, what is that similar to? The shtei nashim shlaku bebeitin. Two women who got malkot and beitin. Achat kilkala, one of them was mizaneh. V'chat, achla pagei shvit, she ate fruits of shvit, by pagei shvit are unripened fruits of shvit, which is a sin because it's l'achla below the hefseid. You're supposed to let them grow fully because you can't be mafsid, perot shvit. Amra lehen, otash achla pagei shvit, v'vakashami kem hodiu, ama hi loka. Make sure when you give me my malkot, make sure you announce why I'm getting these malkot, shelo yomru, ama shezuloka, zuloka. So they won't say about what I'm getting malkot for, that's the same thing she got malkot for. Don't get confused about that. They brought the pagei shvit and they hung him around her neck. Make it clear what the punishment is for. So too, in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, I want my sin mentioned because the Dor HaMidbar gets killed because they didn't believe in Hashem. That look what their sin was, a tragic, terrible sin. Since don't say that I didn't come into Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet HaMiraglim. I wasn't a part of that. I have my own personal sin, so just mention it so they know that I'm not a part of it. On the other hand, David, the sin was a serious sin. He says, "Ashrei nasui pesha kisui chata'a." Mefarsimim et hachanafim ipnei chelul Hashem. We publicize, or we make known, those people that are not tocham kibaram. They act like they are big talmidei chachamim or tzaddikim, and yet they're under the table, they're doing things wrong. We publicize that because of the problem of chelul Hashem, which is either when they get punished, or people see them doing things, they're going to follow them. So number one is people are going to follow their ways, which are improper. Or people see him get punished and say, look what happens to this tzaddik. But he's not really a tzaddik. Shenemar ubishuv tzaddik mitzidko v'asavel. When a tzaddik does tshuva, that's the opposite way. A tzaddik repents on his ways and does bad. V'natati michshol lefanav. I'm going to cause him to stumble. So Hashem promises if a tzaddik leaves his good ways and does something wrong, he's going to stumble. So we know for sure there's going to be a problem along the way, and we don't want people to learn from this individual, so we have to publicize when these people are acting inappropriately. Tshuvat hamuchlatim me'akevet hapuranot. The tshuva of those people who already have a gezar din protects them from the bad punishment. Even though the decree is already sealed, tshuva is able to protect them. Shovat harishayim sofat tikala. The peace, the relaxation of the Rishayim for them in the end will be a stumbling block or a problem because they're getting Shalva now because they're going to get punished later on. Or it keeps them in their ways. They think, look, I'm doing bad and nothing wrong. My life's great. Why should I change my ways? Power buries those people that are involved with it, leadership position, because by Yosef it says, Ve'yamat Yosef, and then it says, B'chol Echav. Yosef died first. Even though he wasn't the oldest, he died first because he was in a position of power. Arum nichnasla v'arum yatsa mimenu ulevai shetei yitziyah ki v'iyah. Says a person comes into the world naked and he leaves the world naked, and halavai that when he leaves, he should leave the way he came in. And that he comes in naked without sin, he doesn't just come out without clothing, but he comes in without sin. So too, when he's buried, he should go out without sin. That a person should leave the world the way that he came in, both in the physical sense and being naked, but also in the more spiritual sense, that if he comes in as an innocent without sin, he should leave innocent without sin. Okay, we'll stop over here.